Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're starting a new book called Echo by Pam Munoz Ryan. This book is 585 pages long, which is why not a lot of kids check it out from the library. But it is a book that you need to read, or you need to listen to. So we're going to do a chapter a night, and I'm starting today with the prologue. Get ready. This is an epic. So here we go. 50 years before the war to end all wars, a boy played hide-and-seek with his friends in a pear orchard bordered by a dark forest. Matilda, who was it, sat on a boulder, buried her head against her knees, and began to count to 100. The boy hurried away, determined to stay hidden longer than all the others, hoping to impress Matilda. Her lilting voice intrigued him. Even now, as she counted, her words sounded sing-song. 36, 37, 38, 39. Although it was strictly forbidden, the boy ran into the forest to hide. Every few yards he looked back to make sure he could still see the pear orchard behind him. When it was nothing more than a speck in his view, he sat against a tree trunk within a cluster of pines. From far away, he heard Matilda's faint call, "Here I come, ready or not." The boy smiled, thinking about the moment he would waltz back to home base, triumphant. He'd have to be patient, though, for it would take time for everyone to be rooted from their hiding spots. He pulled a book from his waistband, one of the two things he had bought that very moment from a gypsy for a pfennig. He ran his fingers over the title embossed in the leather cover. The 13th harmonica of Otto Messinger. He had not been able to resist the purchase, especially with such a peculiar coincidence. The title held his given name, Otto. He opened the book and began to read. A Witch, a Kiss, a Prophecy. Once, long before enchantment was eclipsed by doubt, an anxious and desperate king awaited the birth of his first child. As it was written, the king's eldest would inherit the kingdom, but only if the child was a son. If the firstborn was a daughter, the monarchy would someday pass to the king's younger brother, his most ardent rival. Alas, the queen delivered a girl, but the king was devious. Moments after the birth, he whisked the infant away and ordered the loyal midwife to take it deep into the forest and leave it for the animals. He forbade the midwife to speak of it ever again. Then the king told the queen and his subjects that the baby had not survived the birth. The kind-hearted midwife hiked into the woods, knowing she could never abandon the child. As she pushed through brambles and climbed over logs, she sang lullabies to the wide-eyed infant. When she stopped singing, the baby wailed. Time and again, the midwife obliged, humming and crooning until she reached her destination, a tumble-down cottage that belonged to her cousin, a selfish and lazy witch. "Won't you take this child?" begged the midwife. "You already have goats for milk, and someday she may sweep the hearth for you."
"I suppose," said the witch. "I will call her Ines."
The midwife thought it cruel to give the baby a number instead of a name, but she knew it was a far better fate than becoming breakfast for the bears. She kissed the small bundle and whispered the one gift she could bestow, a prophecy. "Your fate is not yet sealed. Even in the darkest night, a star will shine, a bell will chime, a path will be revealed." She spat at the ground to secure the fortune, left the child with the witch, and fled. Within 2 years, the queen delivered another daughter. The king gave the same instructions to the midwife, who stole to the forest, singing all the while, for this baby, too, would be consoled only with song. At the cottage, the midwife beseeched the witch again. "Won't you take this child? Someday she may gather wood for you."
"I suppose," said the witch. "I will call her Zwei."
Another number for a name. It seemed a false start, but still a far better fate than becoming lunch for the wolves. The midwife kissed the baby and whispered the prophecy again. Your fate is not yet sealed. Even in the darkest night, a star will shine, a bell will chime, a path will be revealed. She spat at the ground to secure the fortune, left the child with the witch, and fled. 2 years passed, and yet another baby girl was born. 3 daughters, one after another. The king repeated the same deception, and the midwife dutifully traipsed into the forest, serenading all the while, for the infant's only solace, like her sister's, was a melody. When the midwife reached the cottage, she implored the witch to keep this baby too. Someday she might stoke the fire for you.
I suppose, said the witch. I will call her Dry. Thus I can remember who was first, second, and third. She held up 3 fingers, ticking off one after the other. Eins, zwei, drei.
Again, the midwife foresaw a bleak life ahead for the nameless child, yet one far better than becoming dinner for the wild boar. And she would have her sisters for companions. Eins and Zwei, who were already in service to the witch and toting small bundles of kindling, rushed to the midwife's side to meet their sister. The midwife looked from the witch's hovel to the dirty, uncombed waifs, already cooing at the infant in her arms. She kissed the baby and whispered, "Your fate is not yet sealed. Even in the darkest night, a star will shine, a bell will chime, a path will be revealed." She spat on the ground to secure the fortune, left the child with the witch, and fled. At last, a month past a year later, the queen delivered a boy. The king happily proclaimed that his first child had been born, a son. Throughout the kingdom, church bells rang in celebration for the heir to the throne, who would one day be king. Otto looked up from the book. He'd been so absorbed in the story that he'd forgotten the hide-and-seek game. The forest had become cold and windy. The trees rustled and swayed. Otto shivered and looked toward the pear orchard, straining to hear his friends in the distance. Had he missed the call? Alle, alle, Ochsenfree! The signal for the ones who were still hiding to finally show themselves. He stood to leave, tucking the book in his waistband. A sudden gust lifted his cap from his head. Otto spun around until he caught it. He peered between the trees, but he had lost sight of the pear orchard. Otto wandered for hours. He yelled, but the wind grew stronger and muffled his calls. His mind raced with all that he had heard about the woods, the dripstone caves inhabited by trolls, dangerous precipices that dropped into witches' lairs, mud bogs that swallowed children in one giant slurp, not to mention the perils of bears, wolves, and wild boar. He rushed from tree to tree, searching for the way out. In his panic, he tripped over a berm of twisted roots and fell. The world swirled. Minutes or hours later, he wasn't sure, he sat up, touched his forehead, and felt a bump the size of an egg. Frightened, he covered his face with his hands and began to cry. Between sobs, he heard a trio of voices. "This way. Come closer. We will help you." Otto raised his head to see who spoke, but saw only the fluttering of shadows through the trees. Whimpering, he stood, taking hesitant steps until he came upon a procession of fir trees that formed an immense circle. He sidled between the trunks and found himself in a clearing. 3 young women, dressed in tattered frocks, stood before him. The first a head taller than the second, who was a head taller than the third. They all talked at once. "At long last, a visitor! Hello, boy! You poor thing! You must be weary! Oh, dear, you have hurt your head! Sit down and rest!" Slowly, Otto sat on a tree stump. "Who are you?" "Do not be frightened. You are safe with us." "I am Eins," said the tallest. "And these are my sisters, Zwei and Dry." Otto pulled out the book and stared at it. "But you couldn't be. Those are the very characters from this story." It must be our story then, said Ines.
Perchance, does it have a happily ever after? Asked Zwei,
wringing her hands. Dry pointed at the book.
Might you read to us so we may know our providence?
The three sisters quickly sat in a huddle around him and leaned forward, their eyes eager.
Otto rubbed his brow, feeling lightheaded.
He looked at Ines Vi and Dry, who seemed hungry for the telling. If the story was true, they had been torn from their mother's arms. What must it have been like to never know her? His heart ached at the idea of never seeing his own mother again.
Please, asked Zwei, perhaps we can help one another.
Otto thought it all strange, but he did feel safe within the tree circle. The sisters seemed harmless, and they appeared to be the only ones who might guide him out of the forest. He turned back to the beginning of the book and read the first chapter again, this time out loud. He glanced up. Ines, Zwei, and Dry held one another's hands, their faces rapt. Otto cleared his throat and continued. A secret, a spell, a final deed. Ines, Vi, and Dry grew up in the far-off cottage in the woods. The witch told them they were foundlings and reminded them every day of how grateful they should be for her generosity. But it wasn't easy to be grateful. The cottage was dank and ramshackle. The witch never replaced a thatch. She made the three sisters wear rags, and she did not love them. Heavens no. She was as indifferent to them as she was to a stone in a stream. But the witch found them useful, because from dawn to dusk, they swept and toted and washed and cooked. Imagine how spoiled the witch had become. The sisters had two consolations in their lives of drudgery. The first was singing. They had three distinct voices, the first that of birdsong, the second a brook trickling over smooth stones, and the third the yodel of the wind through hollow logs. When they sang, their voices blended so magically that the entire forest, from trolls to fairies, stopped to listen and marvel at their gifts. Even the witch recognized their talent, but at the same time, she was jealous. When she ordered them about, she snidely called them names of musical instruments, her favorite being, "My Little Piccolos." The sisters' other solace was one another. Every night, as they lay on their pallets of straw and looked at the night sky through the holes in the roof, Ines repeated the midwife's prophecy as if it were a prayer. Your fate is not yet sealed. Even in the darkest night, a star will shine, a bell will chime, a path will be revealed. Then, each in turn, they sang about the little birds that so easily took wing from the forest. For Ines, Zwei, and Dry had not given up the hope that they too might someday leave. They dreamed of a safe and cozy home and a family who loved them and called them by name. The years passed. The king's brother, his rival, died young. All of the king's manipulations had been for naught. But still he did not make known the horrible secret of abandoning his three daughters in the forest. As his son came of age, the misguided king took ill and relinquished the throne. The kingdom hastened to prepare for the son's lavish coronation, but the king did not live to see it. Every subject was invited to the festivities at the castle and offered an audience with the newly crowned king. When it was the midwife's turn to approach the throne in the great hall, she realized there was no reason to keep silent any longer. She confided the story to the monarch and his mother, who were overcome with joy. Without ado, the young king sent the midwife to find his sisters. Once again, the midwife traveled deep into the forest to the cottage. When Ines saw the midwife approaching, she ran to her and asked, "Have you brought us another sister?" The midwife smiled. "Oh, child, I have brought you so much more." Upon hearing the news of their family, Ines, Zwei, and Dry hugged one another and cried from happiness. The dreams they carried in their hearts had come true. They had a home, a family, and they were princesses. When the witch saw that they meant to go, she became furious. She raised her arms, and the forest shuddered beneath her fury.
Pointing to the three sisters, she yelled, "Ungratefuls! You would leave me after all I've done for you, after I saved your lives. Where would you be without me? Dead, that's where. If freedom is what you want, your choice comes with a price. See how you like my burden, my little piccolos." The witch waved her arms and incanted, "A messenger brought you about. One and the same must bring you out. You may not leave in earthly form, your spirits to a woodwind born. You save a soul from death's dark door, or you'll languish evermore." In a rush of ear-splitting wind, the witch, the midwife, the cottage, and every belonging from table to teacup swirled toward the clouds, disappearing into another time and place. When the air quelled, Ein, Zwei, and Drei found themselves with only the clothes on their backs, confined in a large clearing of stones and stumps, surrounded by a circle of trees, in a world where the sun rose and set, yet time did not pass. Otto raised his eyes from the book's page, looking from sister to sister to sister. Ines wiped a tear from her cheek. "It is all true." "What happens to us next?" asked Zvi. "Oh, you must read on." "Do we reunite with our mother? Or meet our brother?" asked Dry. Otto turned the page. The leaves were blank. He flipped through to the end of the book, but it was more of the same, parchment with no words. "It is unfinished," he said. "There is no middle or ending." "Because we have not yet experienced anything after that page in the book," said Ines. "We've been here, bound forever, as the witch's useless baubles."
"What does the spell mean?" asked Otto.
"She called us her little piccolos," said Zwei. "So to make it more difficult to break the spell, our spirits may be carried from the tree circle only inside a woodwind, by a messenger."
Otto looked at the sisters, now despondent.
"If I could get home, I could help you," he offered. "Do you have a woodwind?" asked Ines. Zwei leaned closer. "A bassoon? Or an oboe, perhaps?" asked Dry.
Otto shook his head. "I only brought one other thing." He began to unroll his sleeve, which had been folded to the elbow. "This morning, when I bought the book, the gypsy insisted I take this, too, and did not ask for an extra pfennig." He held up a harmonica. The eyes of the three sisters brightened. Ines gasped.
"A mouth harp?"
Zwei stood and came closer.
"If you will allow us to play it, we will help you find the way home."
Dry touched his arm.
"But you must promise to pass along the mouth harp to another when the time is right, for our journey to save a soul on the brink of death cannot begin until you do."
Ines nodded. "It is our only hope of ever escaping the spell."
"I promise," said Otto, for he wanted to go home. "But how will I know when or to whom?"
The three sisters surrounded him and whispered,
"You will know."
Otto handed the harmonica to Ines. She played a short melody. Taking the instrument from her lips, she passed it to her sister. Zwei played a different tune. As she performed, Otto heard both songs at the same time. Zwei passed the harmonica to Dry, who played yet another song.
"That isn't possible," said Otto. "I hear three melodies at once."
Satisfied and in harmony, the sisters said, "It is possible." The sky had deepened. Night loomed. Otto whispered, "How will I find my way? I'm afraid of the dark." Ines stood tall and said, "Your fate is not yet sealed. Even in the darkest night, a star will shine, a bell will chime, a path will be revealed." Dry handed him the small instrument. Otto whimpered, "But it's only a harmonica."
"Oh, it is much more," said Ines. "When you play it, you breathe in and out, just as you would to keep your body alive. Have you ever considered that one person might play the mouth harp and pass along her strength and vision and knowledge?"
"So that the next musician who plays it might feel the same," said Zwei.
"It is true. When you play, you will see and find your way. You will have the fortitude to carry on."
Dry nodded.
"And you will be forever joined to us, to all who have played the harp, and to all who will play it.
by the silken thread of destiny.
Otto was overwhelmed by all of their strange suggestions. Forever joined by the silken thread of destiny? Their talking confounded him. His head ached, and he felt woozy.
I'm so ever tired. I want to go home.
And so you will, said Ines.
Slumber now, said Zwei.
Sweet dreams, whispered Dry, her voice hypnotic.
He swooned and dropped to the pine needles. When Otto woke, the sun blazed overhead. He sat up and found himself in a thicket at the side of a narrow path. In his hand, he still clutched the harmonica, but the book was nowhere to be found, nor were Ines, Zwei, and Dry. Had they kept the book, brought him to this spot, and left him? Was the path the way home? All day he stumbled along the narrow trail, overgrown with wild geranium and thistle, until the sun disappeared behind the trees. The knot on his head throbbed. Darkness crept in. Weak and frightened, he began to give up hope, until he remembered the harmonica. He lifted it to his lips and played a simple tune. The unusual tone of the instrument filled him with a peculiar and euphoric well-being. He felt less alone. As he walked, he whispered, "Your fate is not yet sealed. Even in the darkest night, a star will shine, a bell will chime, a path will be revealed." Overhead, the tree branches slowly parted. Stars shone down, lighting the way. He put one foot in front of the other. Had the sisters infused the harmonica with the strength to carry on? Were they with him, in spirit? He thought he heard voices and stopped. Was it Ein, Zwei, and Dry? Or wolves and bears and wild boar? Or just the forest playing tricks with his mind? His heart raced. Otto took a giant breath and blew hard into the harmonica. The chord pierced the night. The forest grew silent, as if the world stood still. Otto heard voices again, calling, calling, his name. Someone was calling his name. In the distance, he saw spots of light bobbing like fireflies. He pushed forward, stumbling into the pear orchard, and found it crowded with townspeople, lanterns held high, combing the edge of the woods.
Here! I'm here! He yelled.
A song rang out.
He's found! He's found!
Two men ran to him, clasped their arms around him to make a sling, scooped him up, and carried him toward the others. His father appeared, and Otto collapsed into his arms. People cheered, and children crowded around, patting him on the back. Matilda was there, and her eyes filled at the sight of him. Otto was so shaken he could not talk. He could only bury his face in his father's chest and cry. Later, at home, he whispered the entire story to his mother and father, beginning with the book and the harmonica he had bought from the gypsy. Ines, Zwei, and Dry saved me. They guided me out of the forest. His parents looked at each other and raised their eyebrows. There now, said his mother. There have been no gypsies passing through our village of late. You must have found the harmonica in the forest, left by another mischievous child. And you were not gone overnight. You've only been missing since the morning. Rest now, for you have a bad bump on your head. He fell asleep, with the harmonica cradled in his hand. After Otto recovered, he carried the harmonica wherever he went. He told his friends and anyone else who would listen about Ines, Zwei, and Dry. After several weeks, people became weary of the telling and began to laugh and dismiss him. Only Matilda never tired of hearing the mysterious tale. Concerned, his father sat him down.
People are beginning to think you are affected. You were lost, and you saved yourself by signaling with that harmonica. That is all. I do not want to hear another word about a gypsy, a book, imaginary sisters, or a magic harmonica.
To please his parents, Otto kept the harmonica out of sight and never carried it from his house again. He stopped mentioning the three sisters and their story. Soon, life with his family went back to how it had been before he was lost in the forest. But whenever he felt afraid, he secretly took the harmonica from its hiding spot, played a song, and escaped into its reverie,
feeling the familiar sense of happiness and comfort, that peculiar and euphoric well-being. Each time, every detail of the story in the book and the events in the forest flooded back to him. The king's trickery, the midwife's journey, the witch's spell, his encounter with Ein Zwei and Dry, and his promise to them. He never forgot that he'd been entrusted with their future, or that the harmonica carried their deepest hopes, to be free, to be loved, and to belong somewhere beyond a tree circle, so that the rest of their story might someday be written. He never forgot that their journey to save a soul at the moment of death would not begin until he sent the harmonica out into the world, when the time was right. He was the messenger. That is just the prologue. So tomorrow we begin chapter one, and the chapters are shorter than that, and they are truly, truly amazing. I will see you guys next time, and thanks for listening.